we come this morning, again, continuing in this brief series on discovering and discerning the will of God. Looking this morning from our scripture text in 1 Kings, book of 1 Kings, chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. Which is going to sound a bit peculiar in terms of seeking God's will. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." Rehoboam answered, "Go away for 3 days and then come back to me." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" he asked. They replied, "If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father has put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, "These people have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Now tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, as the king had said, "Come back to me in 3 days." The king answered the people harshly, rejecting the advice given him by the elders. He followed the advice of the young men and said, "My father has made your yoke heavy. I will make it heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord to fulfill the word the Lord has spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah the Shilonite. Lord, give us the blessings of your wisdom and your insights on these words that we have heard from your word this morning. And we seek, Lord, to be lifted up, to be drawn closer to you, to continue to discover and discern your will for your people. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. As I said, this morning we continue our series, Remember the Goal, in which we seek to discover and discern the will of God. We will take a closer look at one of the biblical methods that we can use that's available to us in order to discover and discern God's will for our personal life. But first, a review. This sermon series title is Remember the Goal because everything concerning the will of God flows from His holiness. As I continue to emphasize and repeat, God wants us to be among the heavenly hosts, praising Him forever and ever. He wants us to be among those declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Since unholiness cannot withstand the presence of holy, God's goal is to make us holy, to bring us into His very presence. Remember, at the end of the book of Revelation, it says we will see His face. Our goal then is to desire and to allow God to make us holy. Remember the goal. Following this critical foundation, we uncovered last week that whenever the Bible makes reference to the will of God in the various ways that it does, that God's will falls into one of three categories, typically. And that is God's providential will, God's moral will, and God's will for our life, our decisions, also known as God's permissive will. God's providential will are those things that God is going to do no matter what. God sent Jesus to be our Redeemer, and this happened in spite of what other men and women wanted or thought should happen. Jesus will return to receive those who are born again. This is going to happen no matter what men and women desire, no matter what they try to do. These are examples of the providential will of God. God's moral will are commands and instructions meant for everyone. If I am a business owner seeking God's will, then I know that it is not His will that I should deceive customers in order to increase profits. God's moral will directs me and everyone else to treat others fairly, honestly, and with respect. In other words, to treat others as I would like to be treated in return. Sound familiar? God's will for our personal lives, also known as God's permissive will because He permits us choices, is typically what we mean when we say that we want to seek and to know God's will. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond to this situation I face, this decision I have to make? The Bible tells us that the more that we learn about God's providential will, those things that God is going to do no matter what, which he accomplishes through people willing and unwilling to follow Him. And the more we learn about God's moral will, the commands God has given to all of us, then the clearer it becomes for us to learn God's personal will for our life. Providential will and moral will form the boundaries within which we seek God's will for our life. You know, after 30-plus years of pastoral ministry, it finally struck me, I'm a fast learner, right? It finally struck me that asking a simple question, which I brought up last week, goes a long way towards summing all of this up. Does my decision bring me closer to God or move me farther away from God? We can see that it is critical for each of us to grow in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God's Word. There are times, though, when we have to make a decision before we are as spiritually ready or mature as we need to be or want to be. Maybe you're newer to the Christian faith and still discovering the wonders of the Bible. You know, it's filling your heart, your mind, your life with the wonders and the delight of God's Word and learning about this active living Word as it applies to you and making changes in your life. And you're excited about it, but you know there's this decision here before you, and maybe you hadn't got to that part of the Bible yet. Or it hasn't all sunk in to be able to be mature on that aspect. And you really do wonder. Maybe you've been neglecting your spiritual life and growth for a while, and now you need to make a choice that has a deadline. Regardless of the circumstance, a deadline is looming and you need to make a decision and you earnestly want to please God with your decision. What do you do? Well, this morning, I want to offer a biblical suggestion for a fast track that helps us in discovering God's permissive will when there is a deadline looming that short-circuits the preferred process of digging deeply into God's Word and growing in it. Before I continue, though, I emphasize that the absolutely best way to discover and discern the will of God is to pursue God. Seek God, not for the purpose of receiving an answer to a decision or even a prayer request that we bring to Him, but because you want to grow and walk closer with Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Our Lord Jesus Himself spoke that, which we read in Matthew chapter 6. It's His righteousness in which God clothes us through the blood of His Son and Savior, our Savior Jesus Christ. Remember the goal. One of the biblical principles that God has given us to help us discover and discern His will for our lives is to seek wise counsel. And here in 1 Kings chapter 12, we are given a biblical account of both wise and unwise counsel. Let me set the stage. The third king of Israel was King David's son, Solomon. Most here, most watching online, I'm sure, are familiar with the wisdom of Solomon and the splendor of his kingdom. King Solomon started well, but he ended poorly. He allowed foreign idolatry to gain a foothold in the kingdom, so God rejected him. God revealed that the kingdom would be torn away from Solomon's lineage. Because of God's promise to David, and God's going to keep his promises, and David had not been perfect himself, but he was praised as a man after God's own heart, a portion of the kingdom would remain under David's lineage. That was the promise. However, a larger portion would be torn away. Additionally, in honor of David, God declared that this would not happen until after the death of his son Solomon. Time passed, Solomon died, and his son Rehoboam was set to inherit the throne of Israel. We pick up the narrative in 1 Kings 12 where the people gathered in Shechem in order to recognize their king. Jeroboam, the man who God had anointed and identified as the king of the 10 tribes of Israel that would be torn away from Rehoboam's hand, had returned from Egypt. Together with other members of the assembly, they came to Rehoboam and made their request that we read in verse 4, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." To us, that sounds like a reasonable request. During Solomon's reign, there had been heavy taxes and heavy labor. Joyfully, God's temple was built, but in addition to that, many other expensive and ornate buildings for the monarchy had also been built, requiring a lot of financial and manpower resources. It was a time of national expansion, but it came with a hefty price tag. So the people of Israel sought relief and offered their loyal service in response to his mercy. To us, Rehoboam's answer should have been a no-brainer. But in the context of the period, it was not necessarily that clear-cut. If Rehoboam agreed to such a proposal, he may have been perceived as having some weaknesses that could be exploited by surrounding nations, or even taken advantage of among his own people who sought to gain their own power. You know, you look at histories of monarchies, not only Israel's, but those monarchs had some pretty tough lives. You know, you think, hey, they're the top, they're the king. What could get any better? Well, how many kings lived a long life? You know, being stabbed in the back was, or some other method of replacing a king was not uncommon throughout humanity's history. So to show those kinds of signs of weakness, or anything that could be perceived as weakness, was something to consider long and hard. Think about long and hard. And also, during his reign, if he had given in on this point, maybe people would come back with other requests that would further reduce his scope of power, influence, and prestige. So it is this point that Rehoboam seems to have done a smart thing. He asks for a little time. Ask for a little time. Let's back off, step back, and put some thought into this. Rehoboam answered, "Go away for 3 days and then come back to me." So the people went away. And after asking for and being granted some time to consider the request, Rehoboam did the thing that all of us need to do when we must make a decision, and we've got to make it now when there's so much pressure and emotion that we can't seem to think straight. He went to others for consultation. He sought counsel. Now, the title of the sermon is Seek Wise Counsel, and we'll see a bit of a difference between the two, or a lot of a difference between the two, but he went to others for consultation. He went to those, at least at first, who had the vantage point of watching his father, Solomon, make both wise and unwise decisions. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer these people? The elders had the advantage of knowing the inside scoop of what went right and what went wrong during Solomon's reign. They had this unbelievable perspective and experience that Rehoboam just did not have. This could have easily been the best decision that Rehoboam made during his tenure as king. They gave him wise counsel. They replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. They will always be loyal. Be a servant leader, they advised, and you will have the loyalty of these people that you lead. In addition, you will have their loyalty for the duration of your reign. Slam dunk, right? No brainer, right? Unfortunately, Rehoboam departed from wise counsel. He consulted some others, but who were they? They were young. They were young men who, like him, did not have any more skill, wisdom, or experience than he did. Even more, they stood to lose some or a lot of their standing and power if the king went easy on the people. The young man who had grown up with him replied, tell these people who have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will make it even harsher. My father scourged you with whips, I will scourge you with scorpions. Chilling. Just the imagery itself is chilling. And the moment that Rehoboam made this declaration to the people when they met again in 3 days' time, Israel rebelled. From that time until the captivities and the exiles, the kingdom was divided into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And often they were as at odds with each other as any other outside nation. They were split, they were fragmented, they were fractured. It would never be the same. The application for anyone who seeks to discover the will of God is that one of the tools God is going to use to guide us is the counsel of other believers. There are times when we are faced with decisions that are filled with such momentous consequences and so deadline dependent that we cannot step back enough to be objective and consider everything as clearly as we want. Obviously, if it's a situation where we're actually agonizing over it, then it must be important. And there must be some similarities and distinctions between the two. And we try to weigh those. So it's especially at those times that we need to know that a primary avenue in which God speaks is through the people He has placed in our lives. Interestingly, the person in Scripture who addresses this more than anyone else is Rehoboam's father, Solomon. As we know, Solomon requested wisdom above anything else that God offered him, and he was rewarded richly for it. He received that wisdom from God plus everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, he experienced that New Testament lesson centuries before it was uttered by Jesus Christ himself. During the time that he was the wisest man in the world, Solomon emphasized the necessity of bringing others into your world in order to hear from God. As you probably expect, the Proverbs are filled with the principle of seeking wise counsel. So I'll share a few. Proverbs 1:5, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. 11:14, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. 12:15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. The wisest man in the world has said that we need to bring in others to help us in our decision making. As we seek to discover God's will, we should seek wise counsel. The more we learn to listen carefully and strategically to what others are saying, even when they are not aware that they are helping us out with advice, the more we discover that God is proactively communicating with us about His will for our lives. There are times when we have need to make a decision and we want to be in God's will, and we go to a friend or friends and ask about it, and boom! The clouds break apart and some clarity bursts in, and you know God is in your midst. There are even times when we need to make a decision and we talk with some friends who don't know anything about it, don't know anything about the struggle that's going on in our life, in our minds, even some of the agony. And they're talking about something, and boom, you still hear God speaking through them. You still receive wise counsel. Now, none of this is meant to imply that we need to cut out or short-circuit in any way our time in God's Word and prayer. God wants us to learn and know more and more about how He is making us holy through His providential will and His moral will. It is only within those boundaries that we discover God's permissive will for our life. The only reason that seeking wise counsel is a valid way to discover God's will is that it is given to us as a biblical truth. There are times when we are praying for wisdom and discernment about some matter, and someone comes into our life at a good moment with some insight that we just haven't seen before. God sent that person or persons in response to prayer. Never forget, God wants us to know His will more than we want to know it. In order to prepare for this series, I've been referring to numerous Christian commentaries and seminars on the topic. There is, of course, much more out there that could possibly be covered in a few moments, but I have found some. But there's a lot of similarities among them. And on the topic of hearing from God through other people, Pastor Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son, offers 5 suggestions for seeking wise counsel. In order to receive wise counsel, we must seek and choose the right people. So first, choose someone who has nothing to lose by telling you the truth. That was a large part of Rehoboam's downfall. After hearing from and rejecting the advice of the elders who were giving wise counsel, he consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. They had a lot to lose by the way that Rehoboam was going to respond to the question, to the request. Second, choose someone who is where you want to be in life. You know, if you need to make a decision about a career, finances, a relationship, spiritual growth, whatever it is that's weighing on your mind, your life, seek advice from someone who is there. Who you can say, okay, that person is where I want to get to. He or she can, or they can provide wise counsel. What Rehoboam did was right, that was right, was to go to those elders who had been there and done that. They had some context for the decision that needed to be made. You know, this isn't to say that you want to copy everything that somebody else has done, which is usually impossible to do anyway, but a person who's already there knows a lot about how to get there. So the elders that Rehoboam consulted had context for him. The younger men that he consulted second did not have that context or that wisdom. Third, ask more than one person when possible. Multiple proverbs recommend many advisors. Fourth, choose someone you know and someone you don't know. Now, I sort of modify that to include maybe someone you don't know very well. I don't know how easy it is to try to get some wise counsel from someone you don't know. But the purpose here is to seek advice that's as unbiased as possible. And fifth, be as sensitive as you possibly can be to the reality that God may be speaking to you through someone else. That doesn't mean that you call up a friend and say, listen, I've got this decision that I've got to make and I want to know what God is saying through you. Don't try to manipulate the situation, but rather ask God, Lord, please help me to hear from you, then be aware that God can and does speak through conversations. And then Andy Stanley also suggests three questions to ask as you seek wise counsel. One, are any of the options I'm considering outside the boundary of Scripture? God is not going to direct us in a way that violates His Word. Or in other words, will my decision draw me closer to God or push me farther away from God? Remember the goal. Two, what do you think is the wise thing for me to do? Proverbs, once again, provides a great demonstration of how the proper application of wisdom delivers us from a lot of bad decisions. Through wise counsel from others as well, God delivers us from a lot of bad decisions. Three, what would you do if you were me? These three questions are not necessarily all that you want to find out, but they do provide some basic guidance and a framework that you want to receive when you're seeking wise counsel. Now, some of us this morning are in a position where we've already made a lot of these decisions, or maybe these decisions have been made for us. You've gone through some times when critical decisions were thrust on you and you came through. You're on the other side. You've been on the other side for a while. This doesn't mean that there will never be any more important decisions, but maybe you're thinking that this really doesn't apply to me. At least not as much as it might have at some other time. But I want you to know that it does apply. Maybe not in the same way that it needed to apply to Rehoboam, or maybe not in the same way that it needs to apply to, say, a younger person or younger family. But it does apply. And this is why. You potentially are those who have been there and done that. You potentially are the one to whom others who are seeking wise counsel need to come. Seek to come. You potentially are the elders. Never count yourself out of the process that God uses to reveal His will. So whether you are the one seeking wise counsel or the one providing wise counsel, remember the goal. No matter the decision being faced, God is making us holy, and we want God to make us holy. Whether seeking advice or giving advice, ask, will this decision bring me closer to God or push me farther away? Like his father Solomon, Rehoboam started on the right track but soon got derailed when he failed to heed godly sources of wisdom and succumbed to biased, selfish, ungodly sources of counsel. But Rehoboam's failure to choose wise counsel does not negate the importance of it. In fact, it emphasizes the importance of it. God has given us one another. God will speak to us through other people when we appropriately seek wise counsel. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end you will be wise. Seek and seek to follow wise counsel.